Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Welcome once again to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Elder Joe Nettles, and I'm just happy as I can be to have this blessed privilege to be able to address you on this radio station every Sunday morning or over the internet if you listen to us by that medium. I welcome you to this broadcast and hope that you'll make it a happy habit to listen to us. I also welcome you on behalf of Elder David Wise, the good and faithful pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church. Both of our churches meet at 10:30 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we beg of you, come and let us meet you. Let us extend unto you Christian hospitality. We want to worship Jesus with you. We also meet at 6 p.m. every Wednesday evening in Starkville, Mississippi, on the grounds and in the facilities of New Covenant Church, located at 200 West Garrett Road in Starkville. We also invite you to visit our sister church located at 55 Tahoe Road in Mabin, Mississippi, and that is Clear Springs Primitive Baptist Church. They also meet every Sunday morning at 10:30, and they would absolutely, that small group would just treat you just with so much love and tenderness, and we hope that you'll go and visit with them as well. We have messages for you regarding wisdom personified today, and we hope and pray that you'll stay tuned with us, and we also hope that you will contact us. Let us know that you're listening. Go to gospel-of-grace.com and send us an email. We would surely love to hear from you. So stay with us, and right after this, we'll be back with today's installment of Wisdom Personified.
If I have wounded any soul today, if I have caused one foot to go astray, if I have walked in my own
Dear friends, thank you for being here with us again at the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. I'm Joe Nettles. I'm turned in my King James Translation Bible to Proverbs chapter 8. And today, Lord being my helper, I would like to continue on the theme of wisdom personified. And we're reading from Proverbs chapter 8. As I said in my last message, we've been studying through the book of Proverbs on our Wednesday night studies and services every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. in Starkville, on the grounds of New Covenant Church, 200 West Garrett Road, Starkville, Mississippi, 6 p.m. We invite you to come and join us. And we are picking back up in verse 17 of Proverbs chapter 8. Now, the reason for these messages is to try to reveal unto you a vision of Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Jesus, again, John 5:39, Jesus declared, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." See, the Old Testament is like a wonderful treasure hunt, a wonderful investigative process where we go into the Word of God and we read it and we see our Lord, our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, the power of God and His kingdom leap off of the page into our spiritual vision. And our hearts just rejoice when we get to see these wonderful glimpses of Jesus Christ. And I hope that from now on, when you read Proverbs chapter 8, that you won't just skim over, but you will think Jesus, 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 and see him high and lifted up through the description of this personified wisdom. Oh, he's the wisdom that came from heaven. Again, quoting from Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And the disciples answered, "Well, some say thou art Elias, some Jeremias, some John the Baptist." He said, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter answered up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonah." He said, "For flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You know, when he told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, "You must be born again," that "born again" can also literally be translated "born from above." You see, the wisdom, spiritual wisdom, only comes from one source, and you only get it one way. You don't get it because you reached for it, applied for it, asked for it. Oh, he'll give you more of it if you already possess it. But you can only begin in spiritual wisdom when you are born of the Spirit of God. What does it say in Proverbs? "For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." See, when he has made you born again and you are brought to a fear, a reverential awe of the Lord, you also have wisdom that he has given you from on high. And you can grow in that grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that growth, we hope, will take place today as we read through Proverbs 8 about wisdom personified. Now, picking back up Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17. Let's see how this describes Jesus. "I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me." Oh yes, this is descriptive of Jesus. Now the world would say, this should read, "I love them that choose to love me first." Now that's what the world says. They'll say, "Well, Jesus loves you, but that love really doesn't mean anything at all. He didn't love you enough to save you unless you choose to love him." But that's not what the Bible says, and that's not how that reads. This does not say, "I love them that love me first." No, he said, "I love them that love me." If you find anyone in this world who loves God, the God of the Bible, that loves the Father, and I'll tell you, if you truly love the Father, and the more you learn of Jesus Christ, you're going to love Jesus Christ because he is the second person in the triune Godhead, and you're going to love the Holy Spirit. Friends, because why? It tells us in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. There's a cause as to why you love Jesus. And that cause is because he loved you with an everlasting love before the world ever began. You see, there's a reason you love God. You didn't just choose to love God. No. How could a dead alien sinner, one fallen in their total depravity, drum up the purest and highest motive toward God that ever could be? I tell you what, if you could just drum that up in your unborn again self, there's no need for Jesus or the Spirit. Come on now. Let's get real. You didn't come up with this love on your own. True God-given love and love for God is born of God in the heart. He said, "I love them that love me." True. If you love Jesus, it means that he loves you. And I guarantee you, according to the scriptures, he loved you first. And his love caused your salvation and caused you to love him. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says, "But if any man love God, the same is known of him." What's he saying there? If any man loves God, then it's known unto him that God loves him back, that God has loved him first, that God is truly in love with you, and that love saves. That love doesn't suffer anybody to go to hell that love is the object of. No. Who is the object of that love? Excuse me. No, no, no. I tell you what, if burning somebody in eternal torment is what you call an exercise of your love, then you keep your so-called love to yourself. I'm here to tell you, my friends, God's word tells me that he hates those who will wind up in perdition to go to that place that's been prepared for the devil and his angels, and I'll meet any man with an open Bible anywhere to prove it with Scripture, okay? But you can also prove with Scripture that anyone who loves God is loved of God, and that love causes their redemption. It causes their inheritance. It causes their regeneration. Okay? Lord of mercy, you can keep that God-dishonoring notion of love that says, "Oh, he'll love you all the way to hell," balderdash. I wouldn't have that on a stick dipped in gold. John chapter 14, verse 21 says, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Here he's talking about the manifestation, the outpouring of that love, not the generation of that love, the beginning, the genesis of that love. No, he's talking about the manifestation, the revealing of that love. You know, I love my children, but it would be terrible if I never hugged them up and gave them a kiss, if I never picked on them, you know, if I never bought them anything, if I never was concerned for them, if I never prayed for them, and if I never showed and showered my love down upon them. Okay? I'll tell you, that showering of that love doesn't create that love, but it does manifest that love, right? He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. You're showing your love for God when you love to keep his commandments. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Oh, friends, and I also love that second phrase of verse 17. He said, of Proverbs 8, 17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And somebody may say, well, there you go. You don't find God until you seek for him. No, 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 no. No, my friends. Jacob, brothers and sisters, wasn't looking for God at Bethel. Jacob was found of God in a waste and howling wilderness. You see, God found him. You hear a lot of people saying, well, somebody found God. They found God. Let me tell you something, friends. God ain't never been lost. You're the one that lost. And if you've ever had a relationship with God, it's because God found you. God knew right where you've always been. And in the fullness of time, Jesus and the spirit of adoption cometh into your hearts, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. God's never been lost. You are the one that lost. Okay? You didn't find God to get saved. God found you and saved you and then gave you the ability to seek after him. Notice again from Romans chapter 3, that great description of man in his flesh, void of the Spirit of God, of all fallen men, both Jew and Gentile. He said, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. But here, this wisdom personified promises us that those that seek me early shall find me. Why? Because if you come to the point of seeking God, it means that God is already in your heart and you already are in his hand. Oh, I tell you, he will manifest himself to you, my friend. You believe that? He will manifest himself to you. I'll tell you, give up on the ways of this world. You throw away the wickedness of this world, the way the world tells you that you ought to live, the way the world tells you that you ought to think. You put it away, believer in Jesus Christ, and you follow in that straight and narrow way, brothers and sisters. You reject the broad way that leads to destruction, and you enter into that straight and narrow way. And I'm here to tell you, there's joy unspeakable and full of glory there. You try the Lord. You try him. You prove him. I'll tell you, he'll open up the storehouses of heaven and pour you out a blessing that even all the storehouses on this earth can't begin to contain. Oh, those windows will rain you blessings, my friends, that you never thought you could have. How's the heroin been doing for you? How the drugs been doing for you? How's the pornography? How's the rebellious living? How's that all been? How are the entertainments? Is Netflix saving you today? What about baseball? What about softball? What about Saints games and Alabama Crimson Tide games or Ole Miss Rebel games or Mississippi State football games? Are those saving you? Is that reversing all your ills? Is that what is really feeding your soul? I doubt it is if you're still listening to this broadcast right now. But brothers and sisters, if the Lord is your shepherd, I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, you shall not want. He'll feed you. He'll deliver you. He will save you, brothers and sisters, because he has saved you from hell. He will save you in your walk in this life. Praise his name. Now let's look at some other descriptions of Proverbs chapter 8, this wisdom personified. Verse 18 reads, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Compare that. He said, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. It reminds me of what Jesus said of himself in John 6, 27, that great chapter where he identifies himself as the flesh and the blood, as the bread of heaven. After he'd fed all those multitudes, okay, with the loaves and the fishes. He said, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Again, you want those enduring, durable riches, far greater than anything that can be measured by the Dow Jones Industrial. No, I'm telling you, my friends, it's Jesus Christ, the meat that will not perish, but will endure unto life everlasting. John 10, 28 through 30, Jesus says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Friends, if you're going to a church today that tells you that you can be saved for heaven today and damned for hell tomorrow, you leave that place. Because they are not ascribing unto Jesus eternal life. Eternal life never ends. It is in Christ, who is the eternal Word. If you're going to a place and they're telling you you can lose your eternal life, you turn from that place and run, because that is not a sound biblical-based doctrine. You eschew it. You reject it. Oh, am I being too strong on the radio today? Am I afraid that they're not going to play my message? No, I'm not at all, because it's the truth. It's the truth. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yeah, I'll believe Jesus over some feathery-haired, shiny-toothed preacher behind some pulpit who's trying to scare you to death. No, my friends, we serve Jesus from a motive of love. We serve Jesus from a motive that he has done for us what we couldn't have done, and he did it, and he did it forever, because that's what God does. God does forever things. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't have that mess on a stick, and I hope that you won't either. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. That's wisdom personified. He knows his children, and he knows just how to keep them in eternal life. Amen. Now, notice verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. This wisdom personified, it says he leads in the way of righteousness. What was Jesus' model prayer that he gave unto us? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into temptation. That's a biblical way of saying, you know what? Lead us away from temptation. People say, well, will God lead you in to be tempted of evil? No, the Bible plainly refutes that. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, lead us away from it, God. We're following you. Lead us away from the wicked paths. Lead us to thy right ways. But notice John 14, 6. Jesus says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, people have reworded that. They teach that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is the way, the truth, and the life. That's not what that says. Jesus said, Personally, the man Christ Jesus, born and laid in a manger, lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years, hung upon the tree of the cross some 2,000 years ago, resurrected after 3 days and nights in the tomb, and my friends, dwelt among his disciples for 40 days, and then was ascended up on high in the view of angels and men. That is the way. He, his work, his being, his intercession, you being included in him from the foundation of the world and him being your representative. Jesus is the way. Oh, I love the gospel of Jesus. I love to publish that Jesus is the way. I love to tell people what Jesus has done. But people have repackaged that verse into meaning that unless you can pay a preacher good enough to get through to people, or unless you pay enough preachers to go to Cambodia, that there is no hope of salvation for God's elect over there. Balderdash, reject that, my friends. It doesn't say the gospel, the news, the publishing of Jesus is the way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Father but by me. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, he can reach every one of his children, whether it's behind the red wall of China. Brothers and sisters, when there was a Soviet Union, there was an iron wall there. I'll tell you, nobody could keep Jesus away. Nobody can keep him out of the gulags. Nobody could keep him out of the prisoner of war camps. Nobody could keep him away from the bottom of the ocean, from the sailors that were about to perish in the world wars. Nobody could keep him out of the woman's womb. Before the abortionist can ever get there, the Lord can reach in and touch Jesus, who is the way. Nobody's preaching the gospel to an aborted baby. Jesus comes in and saves that child before the abortionist can ever reach. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. I've got a cousin who has cerebral palsy. He can't comprehend the gospel, but he's, I believe, a child of grace, because not the publishing and the understanding and the confessing of the gospel is the way, but Jesus. Oh, that precious Lamb of God who walked and talked, him who we have heard and handled, John said, he is the way. John 1:51, at the very end of John chapter 1, and he said unto him, here Jesus is speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. What's being alluded to there? Jacob's ladder, that vision of Jacob's ladder. Okay? Here Jesus is saying, the whole time, Jacob saw a connection between heaven and earth, and that only connection is me. He didn't say the angels were ascending and descending upon the publishing of the news of me. He said, it's me, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way. And my friends, if you've been born of his spirit, then you have been given the vision to be able to understand that he is that way, and that now you want to walk in his way. Because you already have been redeemed. You already belong to him. You ought to follow him. Who else would you follow? Oh my goodness. Not the contemporary wisdom of this vile world. Not the political notions of either party of preeminence. No. Follow Jesus. And if you are led by the Spirit of God, according to Romans chapter 8, then ye are the sons of God already. Isn't that good news? God's done a work in you. Maybe right now you're listening and you've never fully understood why you believe what you believe and feel what you feel. I'm here to tell you, brothers, you are precious, brothers and sisters, little child of grace. You are precious to God. You're so precious that he loved you. He marked you out before the foundation of the world, before the oceans were ever filled and Everest was ever raised. He marked you out and loved you with an everlasting love. And that's why he sent his son to represent you. And that's why he sent his spirit into your heart to quicken you. And that's the only reason you want to hear a fat chicken eating preacher like me brag on Jesus. I love it. Amen. I sure do. Brothers and sisters, I love this so much. This description of wisdom personified. I mean to tell you, look at verse 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Ephesians 1:10-11 says that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Jesus is wisdom personified. He is the one testified of in Proverbs 8:21, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And how'd you get that inheritance? Because you did something? No, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Oh, I'm telling you, we see this wisdom personified all over the pages of Holy Writ, don't we? Praise God. Romans 8:17. Tells us, and if children, if you're God's children, if you're the children of God, then you're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Oh, he is the cause. That wisdom personified is our inheritance, our substance, and he certainly fills our treasures. Verse 22. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. So what are you saying? He said, I was with the Lord in the beginning of his way before his works of old. Okay, well, who was the Word? And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. That's Jesus Christ. John 1, verses 1 through 2. Verse 23, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. Set up does not mean created. Set up, my friends, from a good Bible dictionary, it can mean to cast, to offer, to pour out. But here's what it means. It can also mean to anoint, as in a king, to be anointed, okay? To install, to be installed, as it were, installed as king. Notice the words in Matthew 2 and 2, speaking of Jesus Christ, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Some people are saying Jesus won't be king until he comes back and we crown him. Nope. Not so. Some people say Jesus wasn't king until he came into this world. No, friends, Jesus has always been king. Even before there was Jesus Christ, the man, there was the eternal Son of God, who is the king over the elect family of God. He came into this world a king. That's what he told Pontius Pilate. For this reason, I came into the world. He's already king. And those wise men said, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. He came into this world a king. He was already king. Psalms 2 verses 6 through 7 says, yet have I set, that same Hebrew word, nasok, have I set my king upon my holy hill. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. See, my friends, even before the world was, in the very fellowship, the full fellowship of God the Father, he said, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Friends, he was born king. He is king. Oh, brother and sister, so much more could be said. But we've run out of time. Go read the rest of Proverbs chapter 8, and I give you that homework. See Jesus Christ expressed there, described there, exemplified there, beautiful, like one of the most beautiful portraits that could ever be painted. And remember these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him who? God. But of God are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. I've always had a special appreciation for the righteousness, the sanctification and redemption, but now I have a greater renewed appreciation that he has been made unto us wisdom. Because my friends, the wisdom personified took upon himself the form of a man and lived as a man, all God and all man for us in his wisdom. I thank God for Jesus Christ, my Lord. Until we're able to speak with you again on these wonderful and noble subjects, may the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all in a special way.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30. And tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.
Wonder.